You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this eve of our National Day of Thanksgiving, we focus on Psalm 136. The psalm, you will see, declares the greatness of God and also some of his countless mighty acts that he has done as recorded in the Bible. We are also reminded 26 times in this psalm that his steadfast love endures forever. As we work our way through the psalm tonight, may God help us to be in awe of who he is, such a great God. May he also help us to give thanks that his love truly does endure forever. As we take a look at the psalm tonight, we're going to focus first of all on verses 1 through 3 and how God is the God of gods. So the psalm says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." So notice that he is not bad, but he is good. That is such an important thing. Imagine if there was an almighty God and yet he was bad. Wouldn't we have to be so afraid? But the Lord is good, and also his steadfast love endures forever. We are blessed, so let us give him thanks. The psalm goes on and says, "Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever." So think about our God. He is the creator. He is the ruler of the universe. He is far above every other so-called God. So what should we do? We should give him thanks. The psalm goes on and says, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." So our Lord, we could say, is the master of the universe. He is infinitely greater than everyone else, so what should we do? We should give him thanks. As we go on in the psalm, we come to a section where it talks about the wonders of God's creation. So the psalm goes on and says, talking about the Lord of Lords, "To him who alone does great wonders." Maybe you've been to a show like this where there was a person performing who was an illusionist. And the illusionist was able to do some things that seemed to be great wonders, but yet they only seemed to be that way. They really were not. But yet when it comes to the Lord, he alone does countless great and actual wonders. We can know that about our great God, as we can see the Milky Way galaxy, the one in which we live. It's such an amazing thing, and yet there are hundreds of billions of other galaxies that our great God has made. It goes on and says in the psalm, "To him who by understanding made the heavens." So we have heavens in the plural. So the Bible identifies three different heavens. We have the sky we see during the day, we have the sky that we see at night, and then we have the third heaven identified as the very dwelling place of God. The psalm goes on and says, "To him who spread out the earth above the waters." So after days 1 and 2 of creation, the earth was still completely covered by water. And then on day 3, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And after God made the dry land, what did he do? He planted a garden. The psalm goes on and says, "To him who made the great lights." On day 1, God said, "Let there be light." What happened? There was light. And then on day 4, that is when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The psalm goes on and says, "He made the sun to rule over the day." Our God is such an awesome and intelligent God that he knew that he needed to make a particular sun, a particular size, with a particular amount of heat, and he needed to place it an exact distance from the earth in order to make things work out just right. So God set 93 million miles between our sun and the planet on which we live. If it was a little bit further away, the earth would be too cold. If it was a little bit closer, the earth would be too hot. But God knew exactly what we needed, and he did it just right. And then the psalm goes on and says that God made the moon and the stars to rule over the night. When I think about that, that takes me back to years ago. Sometimes I found myself having to drive the entire night. If it was a rainy night, it was very hard to see. But if it was a night where the sky was clear and the stars and the moon were out, it was as if God had left the night light on just for me. It was such a blessing to be able to drive with that light on in that manner. Do you think God is an awesome God? Not quite sure. Drive away from the city to a place where it's very dark at night and look up in the sky and see the vast multitude of stars, and you will know that God is an awesome God. We come now to the section on the wonders of the Exodus. So in that regard, talking about the Lord, it says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. So when we think about that, we're thinking here about the 10th plague. And we know that the Lord told the people, take lamb blood, put the blood on the frames of the doors, and when I see that blood, I will pass over those houses, and I will not put to death the firstborn in that house. But the Bible also records that in every other house in Egypt, at least one person was dead on that particular night because they did not believe the Lord, and they did not place the blood on the door frames. Why is that so important? That lamb blood points ahead to our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he would shed to save us from our sins. The psalm goes on and says that the Lord brought Israel out from among them. So talking there about the Egyptians, they were among them, they were being held in slavery. But finally, with that 10th plague, though, and with the great outcry of all of Egypt, Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go and serve the Lord. They had requested that over and over again from Pharaoh. He kept saying no, but finally the Lord moved him to finally say yes. And then the psalm goes on and says, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, the Lord did this work. So the Lord, through the 10 plagues, he made it clear to Pharaoh that he is the Lord God, and all those false gods that the Egyptians worshipped, they were not gods at all. And then we go on, and the psalm says, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. When we look into the Bible, it says the Lord is the one that was leading the Israelites to the Red Sea. And it appeared that they were trapped up against the sea. But what did the Lord do, though? When it appeared they were trapped, they weren't trapped at all, because through Moses, he divided the sea, and dry land appeared right in the middle of that sea. And then the psalm says, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. Can you imagine finding yourself up against the shore of Lake Erie, and the enemy is behind you, and all of a sudden the water parts, and you have an opening all the way to Canada? Would you be afraid to step into that opening? You probably would be, thinking the water could come back at any time. But yet, how did the Lord compel them to go through that Red Sea? He compelled them to do so because Pharaoh and his army, they were coming, and they were bent on slaughtering those people. So the fear of Pharaoh's army caused them to go through that water. So even God worked it out in that way. And then the psalm says, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. So you know how that happened. They pursued the Israelites into the sea. And once the Israelites were all out the other end, God allowed the water to come and to cover them and to get rid of that enemy. So during the years of wandering, they wouldn't have to wonder, is Pharaoh coming after us? No, because they had been wiped out. The army was done. God had it all worked out. And then, continuing with the wonders of the Exodus, it says, to him who led his people through the wilderness. So how did the Lord do that? During the day, they had this pillar of cloud. During the night, they had a pillar of fire. God made it crystal clear the way he wanted the people to go. So they're wandering for almost 40 years, and God was guiding them very carefully every step of the way. And then we think about the Israelites now at the end of the 40 years, about ready to go into the promised land. And what was the Lord going to do? We come to the wonders of the conquest. So it says in the psalm, to him, to the Lord, who struck down great kings. So even though the kings in the promised land seemed to be great, the Lord is far greater. The psalm goes on and says that the Lord killed mighty kings. So they were very mighty, but what did the Lord do? He showed that he was even more mighty. He protected his people, and how did he do that? By putting to death these great kings. And then regarding Sihon, king of the Amorites, and also Og, king of Bashan, those were a couple of the kings that he had to deal with. So regarding Sihon, the Israelites simply wanted to pass through the land of Ammon. And they said, we'll pass through, we won't take anything, we won't drink any of your water, just let us pass through. But King Sihon said no. He went up and fought against Israel. And what did the Lord do? He defeated Sihon. He gave the Israelites the victory. And then when it came to Og of Bashan, Og was a great king. He had 60 cities under his control. And yet when he was unwilling to cooperate with the Israelites, what did the Lord do? He gave all 60 cities to the Israelites. Going further then, in the psalm it says, and gave their land as a heritage. So the Israelites received the land, we could say, as an inheritance. Why do we inherit things? We inherit things because of our relationship with someone. So these were God's chosen people. They had a relationship with God, so they inherited the land. It is going to be the same reason for which we enter the kingdom of God, because we are the children of God through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the psalm says, a heritage to Israel, his servant. So again, we come to the topic of relationship. Let us recognize that we should have no relationship with God, but God is the one who has established the relationship. He has done so through our Lord Jesus Christ. So another thing to be thankful for on Thanksgiving Day, and maybe that's what we should be especially thankful for, is our relationship with God through Jesus. And then we come in the psalm to a section of God's loving care. The psalm says, it is he, it is the Lord, who remembered us in our low estate. So that's referring to when the Israelites were in Egypt. They were there a long time. They felt like they had been forgotten about. And yet, though they felt that way, they had not been forgotten about. God remembered. The psalm goes on and says that he rescued them from their foes. So he didn't simply remember, but he remembered, then he took action, and he rescued them. And then in the psalm it says that the Lord gives food to all flesh. We think about what David prayed to the Lord. He prayed, Lord, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Sometimes we get the idea that somehow we are working, we are making money, we are buying our food, we're making it happen. But let's understand, without the blessing of the Lord, we would have nothing to eat. And eating is a very important thing. So whenever we see food in front of us, let us remember that the Lord has given it, let us admit that, and let us take a moment to give him thanks before we consume it. Finally, at the end of the psalm, it says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. If we really think about it, we all have countless blessings, So let us think about those blessings. Let us be thankful for those blessings. And let us also be generous. And let us pay attention to others so as we see those in need, we might take what God has given to us and share it with those who have greater need than we do. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, you have given us bodies that live, eyes that see, ears that hear, and tongues that taste. You have also given your own Son to bring us into your holy family. Therefore, we pray tonight and every day that you would fill us with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.